and welcome to season two of the Working Mom Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingmomhomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julia, and I'm your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we're actually having a very special speaker. It's Colin Gray from podcasthost.com. This is a new affiliate program that I've signed up with. So Colin is helping us learn through self-study courses and production services to help you create and reach a large audience through podcasting. I've had a lot of questions in this area recently since I have a podcast, and I wanted to have Colin come on and share about his program with us. So Colin, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I'm Colin Gray. I run a company called thepodcasthost.com, where we teach people how to run a podcast, how to create one, how to edit one, and how to launch it out into the world, and then how to grow it and monetize it in various different ways. We also have a tool called Alitu as well, A-L-I-T-U, Alitu.com, which is a podcast maker app. So that helps people create them by uploading your audios, cleaning it all up, letting you piece it all together, do some editing in there, and publishing it from there too. So yeah, most of my day is just spent talking to podcasters, helping people create shows and creating content ourselves. So feel pretty lucky to get to do that every day.
That's amazing. How did you get into this? So, you know, everybody's always wondering, like, how in the world do you get started? So like, how in the world did you get started in the podcasting world or get interested in this?
Yeah, good question. It was a bit of a long meandering journey, but the short story is I was in education. So I taught at a university. I taught lecturers how to use technology to be better teachers. And that ranged from everything from blogs to wikis to, you know, video conferencing, all sorts of different technology enhanced methods of teaching. And one of the fancy technologies that came along back in around 2006, 2007, it got into education, was podcasting. So I was actually just, I was told by my boss, go and have a look at this podcasting thing. I've no idea what this is. Go and find out what it is and tell us about it. So it was my job to go and discover what it was all about. And basically, I just started looking into it and totally fell in love with the medium. I love the mix of, you know, personal kind of one-to-one nature of podcasting. You're speaking to just one person on the end of the microphone. And the fact that people can be so intimate over audio, unlike video, and the attention as well. The fact that people will listen to podcasts for half an hour or an hour at a time means you can go really deep on things and you can take it slow and go deep. And it means that you can teach things really effectively and you can reach people really effectively. So that's kind of where it all started. I taught podcasting at the university for 3 or 4 years, created a course around it at the uni, and eventually I started a blog, which is thepodcasthost.com, that site I mentioned earlier, just to write about the things that I was enjoying about podcasting, learning about podcasting, the gear I was trying, the techniques I was trying. And that started to gain a bit of traction through 2013, 14, and eventually gained enough attention, enough income through affiliate income, sponsorship, that type of stuff, whereby I went full-time in 2015. And so ever since then, I've just been working with podcasters, developing that website, developing new tools. And that's how I got into it.
That is awesome. I love the idea that there's a college course out there somewhere about podcasting. That cracks me up. You can find a course about anything.
That was teaching lecturers, but there's many out there for teaching students how to do it as well. It's great.
So, you know, a lot of the listeners might be thinking of starting their own business, or perhaps they already have one, or maybe they just think podcasting is cool. But for those maybe kind of, let's say, mompreneurs or solo entrepreneurs out there that are thinking about podcasting, what would you say is something, you know, kind of the benefits or the positives of the medium for someone at that level?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, podcasting, the power it has is it's a combination of two of the things I mentioned earlier there. It's the personality, but tied in with the attention. So let's take them all. So blogging is one of the best ways to reach people. You know, it's the widest search method. It's how people skim content. They type something into Google, they find text content, they skim through it quite quickly, they find their answers super quick. But when people want to go a bit deeper and get a bit more personality, you don't get that much personality through writing. You know, it's really hard to move people in writing. So that's when people move over to video and audio. You know, that shows you a little bit more about who the person is. It lets the audience connect with the creator. It lets you just show a bit more about who you are, your values, your ethics, all that kind of stuff. So podcasting and video are both quite good for that. Podcasting excels in that more personal touch, like I said. There's something really intimate about speaking directly into people's ears. You know, you're inside their head. And the fact that it is a longer form medium, it's just you can be, like I said, slower. You can get to know people. You can really get to trust people. And the big multiplier for me is that attention. The fact that people listen to podcasts for 60 minutes, for 2 hours, for 3 hours, you get to spend that much time with the listener. And that multiplied by that personality, by this personal touch, that grows trust. So it's really all about trust. People who listen to podcasts, they get to know hosts, they get to know the people that run the show, and they trust them implicitly over time once they get to know them. And that all just, that is something that translates into action. It translates into conversions. So if you're running a show, you can teach people, you can help people. And then when you say, I've got a product actually that can help you more, they go, right, I trust you and I'm going to buy it. And the conversion in podcasting is so much higher than everything else. You can convert like half of your listenership into buyers. Whereas on a blog, it'll be in the 0.0%. And on a video, it'll be in the sort of 0.5% to 1% at the most. So that's where it really is. It's about that trust. It's about that personality. And then it's about the conversions. People actually taking action on the content you put out there.
You know, I know I've read and studied that in marketing and running a business and that sort of thing, even with my coaching business, that it's all about building community and kind of building engagement. And that seems to kind of play into what you're talking to as well, is it's not going out there and just, you know, kind of force feeding a sale down somebody's face, but it's about building the trust and building the relationship and building the community. And then you get the sale.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, that community side of things, you're talking to people one-to-one via your podcast, you know, you're talking to your audience directly, but many podcasters grow really effective communities around their podcast because they're attracting people like-minded to them. You know, that's what happens. People are attracted to your personality more often than not because they're a bit like you, because they, you know, they're similar to you. And therefore, the people that are attracted to your show will also be similar to each other. And therefore, you can grow a really good community around that. It's kind of it's a filter for like-minded people that think in the same way, that have the same values, the same ethics. So it's a really good way of growing a community.
Excellent. Well, I know with your website, you have a bunch of courses, and I could just think, I know when I started, podcasting seemed almost out of reach, just technology-wise. That seemed like, you know, you had to be really technically savvy to be able to do that. And I found that, frankly, it's not as hard as it sounds, but I noticed you have a lot of courses on your site that kind of help with the technology side of that for those of us that may not be as technically inclined.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. It's the biggest question we always get is how do I conquer the tech? Like whether it's the equipment, so the gear setup, like microphones, mixers, how to record into the computer, or whether it's the software, you know, the recording software, the editing software, how do I edit? Like what's a bitrate? What are all these technical terms I'm hearing? And then through to publishing as well, actually, because publishing, like you said, all of these bits are easy, but actually it can seem intimidating at first, because publishing, there's a few different steps to it. You need a couple of different things, a couple of different tools that tie together. And then all the directories that you send off to as well, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify and that. So that's one of the biggest things we help with, is those technical steps and trying to make that easier.
And so if you get past the technical of setting it up, and then you've got to decide what to say, I would say for me, the hardest part, or no, not the hardest, I would say the most pain and the behind part of it is the editing and like producing. You got any great tips out there for us that, you know, it's not maybe the talking part, but all of the, you know, stuff at the end that you have to do almost.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, editing, a lot of people find editing hard and time consuming because they believe they have to do too much of it. They don't, well, there's a couple of parts to this. So firstly, I often recommend people try and treat your show as almost as if it's a live broadcast, okay? So commit to not doing much editing at all. Commit to doing minimal editing, which means while you're speaking, while you're recording your show, if you make a mistake, you just like say something like, oh, that's not what I meant to say. Actually, this is what I meant. You don't have to go back and edit out every old mistake, okay? People connect with that human side of you. You know, you're making mistakes, you're apologizing. People connect with that, so you don't need to edit those out. Then there's the other side of it, is the ums and the ahs and the breath noises and things like that, okay?
Yes.
People often end up editing them out. I'm not sure, do you do that yourself?
I've started to do a little bit of it, because the more I listen to myself, the more it kind of, I'm like, oh my gosh, I say oh my gosh all the time, or and I'm sick of listening to it. So I started editing them out because it was driving me crazy.
Yeah. So that's a good point to there. What I would recommend then is for your next, say your next 5 episodes, you commit to not editing those out. Instead, you commit to every single time you sit down to record, forward, you just keep these in mind. Keep that, oh my gosh, in mind. The first time, first episode you do it, you'll notice it. If you have it in mind, you'll notice it every time you say it, and you'll start to phase it out because it's on your mind, because you're deliberately trying to cut it out. Same with ums and ahs. Instead, you know, try and speak more slowly. Try and just take your time. Take a breath when you pause. Instead of taking the pause and filling it with an take the pause and fill it with a breath.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that softly and smoothly, then it sounds fine. It sounds absolutely fine on the mic. And as you do that, so if you commit to doing that for 5 episodes, even 10, over time, by the end of that 5th episode, I can tell you most people that do that, they've cut them out. They've got rid of most of those crutch words. And instead of editing them out forevermore, it means that you've mentally edited it out. You've edited it out of your speech as opposed to edited out of the recording. And therefore, you don't need to edit it in the future. So that approach, thinking of it as a live broadcast and really just trying to improve your presentation skills, that's actually one of the best ways to cut down editing and make your podcast sound better.
Do you feel like, I would say maybe prep beforehand would be another way to kind of improve the quality of the content as well? I mean, I always hate the idea of having the written out script because I don't want to sound scripted.
Yeah,
but for sure. I also feel a lot more comfortable when I have my talking points well listed out so I stay on topic or something of that nature.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people try to ad-lib quite a lot. And it's good. I mean, you want it to be conversational. You're absolutely right. You don't want to be sounding like you're reading a script word for word. It's really hard to do that in a good way. But what I do is I tend to have, you know, you've got top level bullet points for the episode. That'll give you your kind of like 3, 4, 5 main points for that mm-hmm. episode. And then below that, you actually build in the subpoints. You put in some detail below them. So you've got your 5 main bullets, but then you have 2 or 3 bullet points below that where you maybe have a bit of detail. And you write that out ahead of time. So I'll end up with maybe a page worth of notes there. You know, the 5 top level bullets and then a few below each of them. And what ends up happening is when you plan it out that way, you take 5 to 10 minutes. That's all it takes to write out a few bullets. Uh-huh. 5 to 10 minutes. And it ends up, you don't end up looking at the detail more often than not because you don't need it. You've just written it out. You've got it in your head.
It helps order your thoughts almost.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. Right. It's almost just a personal tool ahead of time to prepare yourself. You might have a glance at them during the recording. It means you're not going to get lost. You'll make sure you cover all the details, but that's a great way actually to keep yourself on track and cut down on mistakes too.
Well, I know with my own podcast, I do a lot of interviewing others. Then I'll occasionally have just, you know, the one-offs where there's this article I saw and I want to discuss it for a bit. Have you found different styles of podcast more effective or more popular when we're talking about kind of the entrepreneur or the business owner who's trying to promote something? Any of those more effective or?
Yeah. Do you mean in terms of like what type of show you create, whether it's an interview show?
The format yeah. of individual episodes. Are there ones that are better than others?
I would say no. I would say there's no one rule about this. Really, it is about the content. It's about the thing that I think separates. I'll come back to formats. It's a good thing to talk about just to see what's kind of more common. But just to a sort of talk. Higher level thing than that is around the content and thinking about the audience you're speaking to and the problem you're solving. That's really, really what it's all about. It's all about, and whatever format you choose, it's about what problem are you solving and for what particular individual. So you need to know that person you're speaking to really well. And I know it's overplayed these days, but that niche, or niche, I suppose it's in the US as well, finding that niche, that area which you're speaking to. So it's not just entrepreneurs, it's female entrepreneurs in the wellness industry, like finding that little area and then speaking to that person and a particular problem that area experiences and making it really obvious what that problem is, what that problem that you're tackling is, because that's what draws people in. And people sort of complain about that, sort of that limiting them. But just because you do your first 10 episodes or your first season targeting that type of person doesn't mean you can't widen it out later. But it just does mean that it's much easier to attract people during that first season because it's so specific, it's so obvious who this comes for.
I would agree with that. I mean, working while homeschooling, we've definitely narrowed. I mean, you know, there's homeschoolers, which is a niche, and then there's working homeschoolers, which is an even tighter niche. And I would say I've had some, you know, concerns put to me by my business coaches as well, is like, have you made it too small? I mean, how many people is that really? But I will say that, frankly, I don't run out of things to talk about. That's for sure. So much underneath that we can cover. So that's great.
Yeah. And there's so much value in owning a small niche like that and building out a bunch of products, bunch of services. You don't need, the great thing about a podcast is that you can make a good living out of a show that is only a few hundred people listening. Because if you have, you know, if you do a show for, let's say your niche, it maybe there'll be people in there who want to start their own business, who are willing to spend, you know, $5,000 on a yearly coaching program or something like that. You only need to convert, say, 20 people doing that, and you've got a good living.
Right.
So, and with podcasting, like I said before, if you have 300 people listening, you're only trying to convert less than 10% of that listenership into clients. And I've seen people do that on many an occasion with small listenerships, converting 20 to 50 people from that listenership into long-term high-paying clients because of that trust and because of that personality that comes across.
So let's talk about the monetization point, because as much as I love doing this, as obviously this is a part of business for me, but and any other kind of entrepreneur, business owner, or person who just loves podcasting or might be thinking about this as a business, they're not doing it for the heck of it. So, or most of the time. So what are the various ways that someone can make money doing a podcast?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the most common way actually is promoting a product or a service. So there's so many shows out there that have a small listenership, just like your own. Well, I'm not saying yours has got a small listenership, but I mean, you're the type of show like yourself that is speaking to a small niche. You don't have to have many listeners to it. And you just sell that service. You sell a consulting service or a, you know, something that is just your time, giving it to this client base and earning money, a living that way. Building on that, it might be a product. So then you build a course, or you create a book, or you build a tool that serves that that niche. And they're both very common ways to do it because you get the full control over it. You know, it's your product, your service. You get all the income from it, so you don't have to share it. It doesn't depend necessarily on large audiences, because like I said, if it's a high-paying service, you only need a small audience. So that is a great way to do it. The other ways that you can do it are sponsorship is obviously a common way. That's a common way that podcasts are monetized, but it does need a really high listenership. You know, you need to be into the 5,000 or so per episode before you can make a decent living off podcast sponsorship. So it's a long road to get to that. And obviously you can't do a really small niche if you're trying to grow, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 or more listeners per episode. Affiliate income is a good one as well. So if you've got a smaller audience, you can bring on affiliates and sell higher priced products. That can work quite well for smaller audiences. Or you can do small, lower priced products as well and just try and go for volume, like just work with Amazon, for example. So that can work really well. In terms of other ways, I mean, there are almost endless ways. The other one that works a lot is Patreon. So people are setting up a Patreon, for example, and selling either premium content. So, you know, doing the free podcast, but then doing extra episodes for people who will pay for it, or maybe some extra, you know, content. So maybe some blog posts or maybe some, you know, extra media, like people do drawings for their fans and stuff like that for Patreon. So there's a few ways, certainly.
So it is very viable. That's one of the points I wanted to make to everybody. It is if you have a good business model behind it, it can be a very viable way to promote your business, promote your services and your products, but also to bring in money itself.
Yes, I would totally agree with that. Yeah. And like I said, it works really good for your own products and services and can sell a lot of stuff.
Okay. So I know we have probably at least one listener out there who is ready to get off the fence and get going. Can you tell me a little bit about the classes that you provide to help people get started with their podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would recommend anyone that wants to start looking into this. We've got a free guide on our website. So it's a page just called How to Start a Podcast. And it's the most read page on our entire site over at thepodcasthost.com. So certainly start there. You don't need to buy anything from us to get started. Just go to thepodcasthost.com/start. And that gives you all the steps. If you do want to go a bit further though and get the how-to and stuff like that, that's what our academy is for. So we've got the Podcast Host Academy. And it basically adds on to that free guide, adds on lots of how to, shows you the exact steps. It shows you, you know, videos on how to do your editing, how to set up your software, how to choose the right microphone, the right mixers, all that kind of stuff. How to create your artwork, all those things, and then publish it as well. So that's a good start, really. If you go and check out the How to Start guide, and then if you do need that extra help, you get the courses inside the academy, and we do live coaching once once a week as well.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and being with us here today and sharing with us about the podcasthost.com and your academy there.
No worries at all. Absolutely happy to help. And as well, if you want to check out Alitu as well, that's our podcast maker app that hopefully makes, we talked about editing earlier on too. That's
right.
Makes that whole process a lot easier. All you do is upload your audio. We do all the processing, the converting. We clean it up, take noise out, like do the levels and let you piece it all together and edit it right in the app as well. So if that's someone you want to check out, then there's a 7-day free trial.
Absolutely. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me. So thank you. Please be sure to check out all the show notes for the links to my site, workingmomhomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with me online. And we do appreciate our listener supporters. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast, you too can support me with a small monthly donation that helps us continue with great content and interviews like you've heard here today on the Working Mom Homeschooling podcast. Just check out the show notes for the link. I also appreciate your online reviews, all of you that are subscribing to our podcast. Thank you to all of you who've been sharing this with your homeschooling friends. And if you know someone that you think would be a great guest on our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingmomhomeschooling.com. Thank you for listening in today. Thank you to Colin for being our guest and talking to us about his experience with thepodcasthost.com. And the link to this affiliate program will be listed in the show notes. Make sure you join us in our Facebook group for continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast for Working While Homeschooling.